Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucs in the NFL for the Tampa Bay Times, but is joining us from Green Bay in the wake of the NFC Championship. Really long day and night for you, Rick, so thank you for a couple of minutes. This past year has been great for Tampa sports fans. The Rays go to the World Series. The Lightning earn the Stanley Cup. Now Tom Brady and the Bucs are in a Super Bowl for the first time in 18 years. What's it been like for this fan base?
Well, it's been pretty surreal. I mean, you know, we used to say, or I used to say on my podcast, we can't have nice things. And now we can have nice things, but we just can't watch them play. Although the Bucks have had about, you know, 14,000 or 16,000 fans in the stadium. But yeah, it's been unbelievable. I mean, they're like the city of champions now. You've got the Triple Crown possibly working here. Obviously, the Rays didn't win. They took the Dodgers to six games, but what a time, you know, to be a Tampa Bay sports fan, and at a difficult time in the country, including, you know, in Florida and in Tampa, to have this beautiful distraction, I guess you would say, if you're a Bucs or a Rays or a Bolts fan. So yeah, it's been pretty remarkable.
So you're in Green Bay. You were there for the NFC Championship. I got to ask, Rick, what's going through your mind as Tom Brady is throwing 1, 2, 3 interceptions in the second half against the Packers?
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, is this some kind of a weird Atlanta reverse of the Super Bowl or something that's going on? Like, is he going to blow the 28-10 lead or whatever? But, you know, if you go back and you kind of watch those interceptions, I mean, you know, Mike Evans had one in his hands that it would have been a great catch, but he typically does catch it. And one was, you know, he's trying to unload it on a blitz. And I mean, there were things that happened on those plays, but that's sort of been, you know, the weird thing is Brady had not thrown but one interception, I think, like the last 6 weeks. And that one was a deflected pass. He's been real good with the football, especially of late, but he also, you know, part of the no risk it, no biscuit thing is that he hasn't been afraid to take those shots, you know, and he sort of found peace with that, and we know his arm is still strong, and so you don't really fault him for all the interceptions. You know they're going to happen, but it was weird to see it that many happen that long, and to let, you know, Green Bay get back in the game with Aaron Rodgers, who you never want to give another chance to. But they were, you know, the great thing about this win for the Bucs was it was a team win, and the defense really stepped up. And then, of course, for as much faith as Bruce Arians showed in Brady, especially at the end of the first half, taking that shot to Scotty Miller, you know, the other was not true with the Packers in the fourth down play and deciding to kick a field goal with 2 minutes left and three timeouts.
The defense obviously was the shining star against the Saints. I mean, Brady's numbers were Brady's numbers, but it was Devin White and it was Sean Murphy Bunting mm-hmm. and it was Shaq Barrett. And here we are again with that same statement, Barrett with 3 sacks, 2 of them coming on the drives immediately after Brady had thrown interceptions. White has another 15 tackles. Murphy Bunting has another interception. So that's 3 for him in 3 playoff games. What has Bruce Arians and the rest of this team had to say about the defensive performance?
Well, it's been remarkable. They've been really opportunistic and getting a lot of turnovers, and they had a lot during the season. And, you know, I think they got a little bit of a break getting Vita Vea back. I think that created some one-on-one matchups for those guys outside. It's not necessarily an accident that they had big days. They thought they could beat those tackles, and they did. And, you know, opportunistic, I mean, yeah, Sean Murphy bunting not too long ago, you know, towards the end of the season, was beaten for a couple touchdowns in Atlanta, and really his confidence had sunk. And now, of course, it's sky high. I mean, to do that in a playoff 3 weeks in a row and come up with an interception is just huge. And you got to credit Todd Bowles. You got to credit that scheme and really a star, I think, in this league that's, you know, rising before our eyes, and Devin White that, you know, had such a monstrous game with the Saints. He picks up another fumble. He's always around the ball. He is sort of their Ray Lewis, right? The guy that makes them go in the middle of that defense and erases a lot of mistakes because of his speed. So it's been really, really fun to watch. And I think Brady has definitely benefited not just from having the weapons on offense, but from having a defense to get the ball back to him and kind of, you know, take care of him when he makes a mistake.
Rick Stroud covers the Bucs in the NFL for the Tampa Bay Times as this team is headed back to a Super Bowl for the first time in 18 years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Rick, you're in Green Bay. What was it like to be at Lambeau for this game with about 9,000 fans in the stands?
You know, I want a head count. That was ridiculous. There's no way there was only 9,000 fans in the stands. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, just, you know, I could tell there was more than that. And then they had these, like, white placards that they were banging. I'm telling you, this was a playoff atmosphere. I can only imagine what it would have been like if it was full. So, you know, credit the Cheeseheads and whoever else showed up, because they really, you know, for the first time maybe all year, it felt like a regular National Football League atmosphere. And those people are crazy, as you know. I mean, they're passionate about the Packers, and you know, this is going to be a hard one for them to swallow. But boy, it was fun. You know, if it had been a few hours earlier, it snowed overnight, almost 4 inches where I was down the road in Appleton.
Wow.
But they couldn't have asked for, you know, we talked about the weather, of course, it's always a big story. But, you know, for the Bucks, they really couldn't ask for much more. Kickoff, it was close to 30 degrees, and the snow had stopped, and the footing was good. So wasn't Florida weather, but certainly they'll take it.
What was your reaction when Matt LaFleur called for the field goal with about 2.5 minutes to go?
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I think a lot of the people I sat around, you know, felt that he should go for it. And really, I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes a decision to throw the ball back across his body. If he had not done that and continued to scramble, I think he either scores or at least it's fourth and goal at the one. And then they certainly would have tried. And you know, if you don't get it there, you're giving the ball back to the Bucs at the 8-yard line in the same situation that you wound up essentially, you know, on that drive, needing a 2-point conversion and a touchdown. So that's one that Matt LaFleur, you know, he'll have to outcoach that in his career somehow. He'll have to get back to this point, which isn't easy to do. And I know Aaron Rodgers was pretty upset about it. It's just the season ends so abruptly, as you know, Amy, that when you lose these playoff games, everything comes to a screeching halt, and it's difficult to deal with in the moment. And so I can well imagine a guy like that that's had an MVP season and played really well in this game, as you know, as well. He'll be looking at that and why he didn't get another chance to have the football, and you know, he'll think about it all off season.
I'm not sure how long you've covered the Bucs, but it's been obviously a long stretch since they've been in this position. A lot of these players are tasting it for the first time, not like Tom Brady, who has done this, oh, I don't know, it feels like every other season since he got into the league. But what was their reaction, even virtually, what was their reaction to making it to the promised land?
Well, I mean, they're super excited. And there's been a couple guys, you know, like Jason Pierre-Paul and you know, some others that have been to Super Bowls, right? But most of the core of this team, forget the Super Bowls. Hell, they haven't been to a playoff game, and now they've won three in on the road. And, you know, really, I mean, I don't know, Amy, it'll be years from now that we really get to understand what Tom Brady is accomplishing, right? But I probably couldn't have sold this, you know, this story to many people, that he would leave New England, that he would come down during a pandemic when there's no off season, that there wouldn't really be much of a training camp, no preseason games, have to start the year at New Orleans, which seems brutally unfair, make it as a wild card, then going around win three. And yes, he's back in the Super Bowl, but in Raymond James Stadium for the first time, you know, just chunking another piece of history. I mean, when you see it every day, when you see the impact he has on this football team, the attention to detail, the work ethic, how everybody, believes, and that's the word you come away with, is just the belief that these players and coaches have in Tom. And he's refreshed by a change of scenery and new teammates and the warm weather and, you know, all of that, of course. But he's all about winning, and it's just what he does better than everybody. And I'm sorry, but if he wins the Super Bowl, and I've been to all these Super Bowls, I get the Brady fatigue thing. But if he wins this, I think you stop talking about him as just a football player and you start comparing him to people like Babe Ruth. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, and I've watched him from afar and been to all those Super Bowls. But to see it every day, even virtually in the interviews, it's been really remarkable to watch, and it's just been a great story.
So is that what Bruce Arians meant when he said it took one guy? It took Tom Brady committing to the organization to change everything?
Absolutely, and they pursued him, you know, almost as soon as the season was over last year. Of course, Jameis Winston with the 30 interceptions, they thought they had a good football team, and they needed, you know, they needed a change of culture, and winning is that culture, and Tom Brady's the greatest winner there ever was. But this team was 7-5 at one point, and they were not going the right direction. And it took a lot of collaboration and patience and just working through things. And, you know, they managed to find themselves in the Super Bowl. But he is the difference. And I credit Bruce for saying that, but it's absolutely true. And he gives them all the credit. He's got a great coaching staff, and they've done a wonderful job. And they have great players. And Jason Light built this team really well. But you can't underestimate just what he has meant, like a coach on the field. And I've been sort of surprised by it. I've covered the league for a long time. Thank you for not saying how long. But this franchise has the worst winning percentage in North American sports, right? So this is 13 years without being in the playoffs, and now the boom, they're right back in the Super Bowl. So it's really heady stuff for Tampa Bay and for the Bucs and their entire franchise.
Rick Stroud with us from Green Bay after the NFC Championship, covering it for the Tampa Bay Times as Tom Brady heads to his first Super Bowl with the NFC, but of course has a long and storied resume kind of dragging the rest of the Bucs with him. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. At what point did you see them really turn things around and get on a winning track, a potentially Super Bowl-bound track?
Well, you know, you never know, but I think when they finally got the bye week, they had the latest bye week in the league. It was like after week 11 or so, and it was a beat-up football team, was tired. But every week, you know, you heard more about Byron Leftwich and Brady and sort of getting his way with some things. I mean, they needed more commitment to running the football. They needed play action to help Brady, you know, be protected. And they needed more pre-snap motion. And you started to see those things. And, you know, you realize that, you know, they were sort of moving close to what Brady did without giving up, you know, the notion of down the field throws. I mean, a lot of times they'll go three verticals and one guy underneath, and Tom Brady's used to one vertical and three guys underneath. And so, you know, they made the adjustments, and they the schedule changed too. I mean, look, they were beating up on some tomato cans, but they were doing it so, you know, so convincingly, you know, whether it was Detroit or Atlanta. I mean, they trailed Atlanta 17-0 after the bye. You talk about a crossroads now, and they had the greatest second half, you know, they've had all year. And that really kind of, you know, gave them momentum. And I think, you know, games have momentum, seasons have momentum. They got it at the right time. They were a hot football team, and they let it roll on into the playoffs. And, you know, that's the way it's gone. But it was really, you know, 7-5, it was starting to be a dark and stormy place, and they pulled themselves out of it.
Before I let you go, Rick, what is the plan for the Super Bowl in terms of fans being able to be there in person?
Well, if they could do it like Green Bay, they'd have about 60,000. I don't know what the count was there, but they're supposed to have 22, and it's really a neat thing the NFL is doing. They have 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers, most of them from the Tampa Bay area. I think each team selected four from their cities and are going to pay all their expenses to go to Super Bowl 55. So there will be a big celebration, obviously, about first responders and people that are in the healthcare industry. And then the rest, I guess, you either know somebody or you have an awful lot of money, Amy, because I think these tickets are really going to be expensive. But I don't know anyone. I just happen to have a credential. I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'll get to go. But it won't be, you know, it won't look like a normal Super Bowl. I don't think the other team, Kansas City, will probably come in until Thursday or Friday before the game. But we know where the Bucks will be. They'll be right in their facility, which has been interesting. I wish people could understand that they can see Raymond James decorated as a Super Bowl 55 stadium and have been looking at that now for about a week and a half while they're practicing. So that carrot was always dangling there, and now they get to be part of it. So it's a pretty neat situation for them.
Yeah, it's cool, too, because they won their eighth game in a row on the road, but now don't have to be on the road or even at a neutral site for the Super Bowl, which is, as you say, kind of a nice carrot, a nice gift. Well, you can follow Rick on Twitter at NFL Stroud, Stroud. It's been a really long day covering the NFC Championship for the Tampa Bay Times. He's also the host of Sports Day Tampa Bay, which I can imagine is about to get a ton of podcast downloads. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Amy. Great to be with you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.